As the Lord may be pleased to grant his help this evening, I direct you for a little while to a word in the second epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 3 and verse 5. The second epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 3 and verse 5. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and to the patient waiting for Christ. The second epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 3 and verse 5. The subject is in the form of a petition, a desire that was in the heart of the Apostle Paul toward this people to whom he writes, the church in Thessalonica. How we often can discern in the epistles that Paul was inspired to write, how he did seek their best welfare, as it were. How often his heart was burdened in prayer for the true peace and prosperity of the churches, those whom have been raised up and made manifest, as it were, to the labours of the apostle. The Lord graciously blessed his ministry, and many churches were formed in one place and another, and the apostle could only, as it were, acknowledge the goodness of God in using him to be the means of communicating the blessings of the gospel to poor sinners through the almighty power of God and his Spirit. Now expresses his heartfelt desires for their true welfare. And while these things are recorded concerning how Paul felt towards these various churches and the words he expresses and are written in these epistles, indeed how relevant they are to the Church of God in all ages. And as I bring this word before you this evening, what a mercy, if there's something about it that, as it were, touches a chord in your heart with regard to a desire. We have a great subject in this text, and that is the love of God. A tremendous truth, a blessed fact, that God is love. God is love to his dear people. He's loved them with everlasting love. And how we do need our hearts to be directed into that love, to be brought into some gracious experience of the communications of that love into our hearts. These things are so vital, aren't they? You see, it's not enough just, as it were, to consider these things in an abstract way, or even to assent to the truth of them. But the great thing is this, isn't it? To have some of the truth of God in our hearts. And it was this the apostle desired for this people. And he appeals to the Lord in prayer in this way, and expresses his desire in this letter to the Thessalonians at this time. And while in the first place in this chapter you'll notice he desires that they might pray for him and his fellow labourers, and that their labours might be blessed of the Lord. He says, finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful. And so the apostle, he seeks an interest in their prayers, and that the Lord would indeed bless his gospel, and it might indeed have free course and be glorified, as it had been to this church to whom he writes. But then you see, he expresses his desires, in prayer to God on their behalf. How often the dear apostle seems to be, as it were, burdened with prayer and for the welfare of God's dear people, seek their best welfare, as it were, in spiritual things, that might be built up in their most holy faith. They might be preserved from the many evils and ills that surrounded them. And how it has been down through the generations, they have always been the enemies of the truth, the enemies of God's church, enemies to all that is true. And sometimes those enemies have been very active, and you only have to read the Acts of the Apostles and how the apostles were directed from one place to another to preach the gospel. And while the Lord was pleased to own and bless their neighbours and made his word effectual in the hearts of a number, yet always there was an element of opposition from the enemies of God's truth. You read of this when Paul preached at Thessalonica, and there were those who stirred up trouble. They hated the Apostle Paul. They hated his gospel, the gospel he preached. Gave sad evidence of their ungodly state, as it were, and the enmity in their hearts to the things of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And the true believers had to suffer much persecution, and Paul himself, as you know, suffered much in this way. What a mercy! God is faithful. And God is faithful to his dear people. He was faithful to those believers at Thessalonica, and he is still a faithful God. He's faithful to all his dear people. But I want to try and consider what Paul speaks of here and his desire as expressed in this little text this evening. And may it please the Lord to make it profitable to us. What a mercy if the Lord should be pleased to direct your heart and mine a little into this amazing subject, this which is so precious and so vital, precious to the people of God, so vital to their well-being. The love of God. I thought of how the Lord was pleased to communicate to his dear servant Jeremiah in those far off days. Yea, I have loved thee with everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. There we're reminded of God's love as everlasting love. The love of God is everlasting. It knew no beginning or no end. It knows no change. The love of God. It is a vast subject. And one can only feebly speak of it, as it were, because of the tremendous length and breadth of it. It is beyond our poor minds to comprehend. But it is a blessed and precious truth. God is love. And I'll read that portion in the first epistle of John, where John reminds us of the manner of that love as it is conveyed. But he also reminds us of the source of that love in God himself. Yes, and that he loved his people from all eternity. And how the expression of that love was so seen, particularly when God the Father was pleased to send down his dear Son into this world to be the Saviour of his people. How can we speak of the love of the Father? How can we, as it were, estimate the value of that great gift? Paul on one occasion expressed himself in this way. He said, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." It was a gift of love. Yes. To the church. To a people. Yes, ordained to eternal life. A people to be saved with everlasting salvation, to be saved by that grace which you were singing about in the first hymn this evening. Which is a love that knew no beginning. And therefore in this our minds are, is beyond our poor carnal minds to comprehend. But that is the truth. It's everlasting love. How the Lord so clearly, in that word I quoted to you just now, set that truth before Jeremiah. I've loved thee, everlasting love. But you see, he communicated it, didn't he? Jeremiah was directed into it. And that's what you and I need, don't we? Yes, to realise something of the experience of this in our hearts. But what an unfathomable theme it is to consider. It's expressed in the scripture in various symbols and types, as it were. The love of God. Ezekiel was given a vision, wasn't he, of those waters that flowed from heaven, from the sanctuary. And how he was directed in his vision to those waters and was led into them by degrees. And at length it was like this. It was a river to swim, and he could not pass over it, as it were. And that vision God gave to Ezekiel, something of the everlasting nature of that love, is beyond measure, as it were. Everlasting love. God is love. And that means so much to poor needy sinners, those who feel their unworthiness, because we cannot merit anything, you see, of God in salvation, but it's upon the ground of his sovereign love. God has in his heart, as it were, that love has been there for all eternity, and is a love that knows no change. But as the text reminds us, the apostles are so desirous that they might know this blessing, yes, in the experience of it in their hearts. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. Well, we do need to be directed into the love of God. Yes, into the everlasting nature of it, although we cannot comprehend it, yet for our hearts to be directed into it. And the Lord alone can do this. He may see fit, he does see fit to use means to this end, his own precious word. And what a blessing it is when, through the written word, the hearts of poor sinners are directed into the love of God, whose word it is. And as the gospel is preached, how the Lord has seen fit to use these means whereby poor sinners shall be brought into an experience of the truth. Because it is a gospel of love. It is a gospel that proclaims love. The sovereign, eternal love of God. But then how we do need to be directed into it with regard to the, as it were, the communication of the love. We think of the blessed doctrine, but ought to know something of the experience. As I said just now, this is so vital, isn't it? And to know something of this in some little measure is something very, very positive, isn't it? If you read through that epistle of John, I read one chapter in your hearing this evening, and the theme runs through the epistle altogether. It is an epistle of love. And John seemed to be specially directed to set these things forth in that epistle. The love of God, the manner of it, the gracious effect of it in the hearts of poor sinners. And surely it is the effect of that love we do well to consider. And it is in this way, I feel, that sometimes it can be made an encouragement, a strength, a help to one another. Pilgrims journeying on this lower world, having much to contend with, the assaults of the enemy, having to realise something of their sad state by nature. Good it is if sometimes directed somewhat into this wondrous love of God, expressed in his gift of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Saviour of sinners. And to be directed into that gift. And how the dear Son of God came in love to his people. He did not, as it were, hesitate to fulfil his Father's will concerning his dear people. That people that the Lord was pleased to, as it were, set his love upon. he gave to his dear son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ received them as a gift to the Father. He said in his prayer to the Father, "Thine they were, and thou gavest them me." And the Lord Jesus Christ, in love to that people, came down to the world to suffer and to die for them. Make a way whereby that love could be experienced, communicated to them, to their souls, and to enjoy the everlasting benefit of it ultimately. And the Lord direct your heart into the love of God. And so then, not only to consider the precious doctrine of it, but to seek after, to know something of the experience of it wrought in our hearts. And how we do need this, don't we? Or is there something about this text that finds a place in your heart? Especially perhaps when you look within, there seems to be so much coldness, so much deadness. And perhaps sometimes it is like you read in the psalm, "You see not our signs." How desirable then for this prayer, this desire to be fulfilled in your experience. For your poor heart to be directed into this love. Because it is a wonderful subject, a wonderful truth, a wonderful reality to be led into. And thinking again of the vision that God gave to Ezekiel, you see, not only did he notice how the waters flowed from under the sanctuary, but they flowed down, didn't they? And where Ezekiel was. And he was brought to them. And he was led into those waters by degrees. And there's something very instructive about that. And in the light of this word here, "The Lord direct your hearts," you think of Ezekiel in the vision, how he was directed in that way to see that wondrous river, as it were, of God's love, flowing forth from heaven and flowing down into this desert world, and the gracious effects of it. It brought fruitfulness, you see, it brought life. And then one very important aspect of it was this, that the dear man were in his vision was directed into it. And I'd like to consider how that is set forth in the scripture. Yes, it speaks about him going into the waters to the ankles. He is gradually being directed, you see, into this experience. But then he was led on. Yes, little deeper into the waters, as it were. So he came to realise, although in the first place it was only ankle deep, but it was a mighty depth beyond his calculations, it were. And it might be well sometimes you are helped to consider these things. And when perhaps in your own experience you may feel ankle deep, not led into great depths, but what a great mercy to have some experience of this, even though it be, but ankle deep. But you see, Ezekiel was led on in the vision, wasn't he? Yes, to the knees and to the loins. And then a river to swim in, which he could not pass over. Surely it's an experience that it's desirable, isn't it? And you see, we're so dependent upon the Lord to direct our hearts. We cannot direct ourselves into these things. We sorely need it. But it's not in our power to bring ourselves into the experience of it. It is as the Lord is pleased to graciously direct. And that brings into the wording of this desire, "The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God." Our thoughts may be directed in many ways sometimes. Many things may take up our natural thoughts. What a great mercy, dear friends, if you have a new heart and a new spirit. A heart that's made impressive with the love of God. A heart to seek the Lord. Yes, a heart to be graciously wrought upon by the love of God. Because there are the effects of that love, you see. And I feel that it's so important to consider it. And while we do well to consider the precious doctrine of it, and may the Lord help us to meditate profitably upon it, yet, you see, to have the experience of it, it is so vital. And good it is if at times you have that desire in your hearts, it may be so. To have some personal experience of God's love shed abroad in your heart with the Holy Ghost. And this the Lord is pleased to do. It was no vain desire that the apostle had. No. He was graciously directed. His desire was indicted by the Holy Spirit. And it is the Lord's good pleasure to lead his dear people into an experience of his love. Yes, little by little. And good it is if you can trace a little of the beginnings of the experience of this. And perhaps your heart was first moved in that way. You see, there's something very positive about the love of God. And some very helpful scriptures, very helpful verses in that chapter which I read to you this evening with regard to the effect of God's love and how the apostle was directed to give that word, wasn't he? We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. You see, one of the effects of God's love, if you and I have an interest in the everlasting love of God, then the Lord will draw us in his loving kindness. He'll draw us to himself. He'll draw us to the dear Lord Jesus Christ himself. He'll draw us to his people. Yes, the love of the brethren, one of the effects of God's love. And what a mercy it is when hearts of one another are directed in that way, so that you feel your heart warmed to the people of God. Those blessed with the same desires, and you have a kindred spirit. Well, the Lord directs this. It's described in the scripture as the fellowship of the gospel. Nothing to do, you see, with natural love, no. But it is spiritual love. And it acts in a spiritual way. You have instances of this in the scripture. I like to think of, for instance, dear Ruth, the Moabitess, and how she was so drawn to Naomi, wasn't she? There's something more than natural affection there. You see, there's Orpah, and to a point, no doubt Orpah loved her mother-in-law, but there was a difference. And the difference was made manifest when the testing time came. And although Orpah went back to her own people, we read how that Ruth clave unto Naomi. And what is more, you read further, she was steadfastly minded to go with her. Well, now, there was a principle there which was made clear. Yes, as she did cleave to Naomi. Why? Because she was a child of God, a mother in Israel. There was something about Naomi was very attractive to Ruth. And although there seemed to be no outward prospect, as it were, in going with Naomi to Bethlehem, yet there was something which rose above all earthly thoughts, as it were, and she felt that she could not leave Naomi. Thy people should be my people, and thy God, my God. Well, there was love there. And the Lord blessed her, didn't he? And how she was led on, wasn't she? Into a wonderful experience of love, which was so, as it were, typical of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ to his dear people. But you see, there was that distinguishing love. And as she was directed into it by the Holy Spirit, as it were, she felt her heart drawn, yes, to Naomi and to the people of God and the ways of God. Now, what a mercy if you and I know something of that. What prompts you at times in coming to the house of prayer? Can you join with the psalmist where he says, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thine house and the place where thine honour dwelleth. And the Lord directs his dear people into his love in that way. He has provided the means of grace. Yes, the worship of God. And where grace reigns, there will be a desire. There will be at times a love to these things. And your heart being directed, it directs your feet. You know what it is to come with willing feet to the house of God. Now I thought too of what we read about those two dear people who were journeying along the road to Emmaus, as recorded in the Gospel according to Luke. We know well the circumstances and how those two dear people, Cleopas was the name of one, the other one is not named, but they were fellow pilgrims, very much so, but they were sad at heart. But the Lord Jesus Christ did not despise them, but rather he drew near to them. And how they were directed, weren't they? Yes, directed to the love of God. So what the Lord Jesus Christ ministered to them as he alone could do. And what did he do? Well, he expounded the scriptures to them. The things concerning himself. And they're the things that set forth the love of God. And when a poor sinner is directed that way, yes, under the truth of God as it is proclaimed, there are those wonderful effects of it made known in the heart. This is what Paul desired for these people at Thessalonica, for their hearts to be directed into these things. And you think of those two. And the Lord Jesus Christ drawing near to them. Yes, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. He condescended to join them, as it were, in their journey, although they were sad at heart. What a blessing it proved to be to them. And if you follow that record through, you will notice how that they were directed into the love of God in such a beautiful way. And the Lord Jesus Christ at length revealed himself to them in the breaking of bread. And although he vanished out of their sight, and there's something to learn in that. But there was an effect, wasn't there? But they say, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? Oh, how their heart was directed, wasn't it? Into the love of God. And it drew their hearts to him. The Lord Jesus Christ. There was the evidence of that when they constrained him to turn to tarry with them, being toward evening. Yes, it was love that caused them to desire that they felt their hearts so strangely drawn to him. And how good it is, isn't it, when sometimes you may feel your heart strangely drawn. It may be difficult to describe, but good to experience. Strangely drawn to him, the Lord Jesus Christ. And though you may not be able to speak of great things, yet what a mercy for your heart to be drawn to him. And when this is so, it draws people together, doesn't it? Those two, they felt a oneness of spirit in that experience. They both entered into it. And while the Lord Jesus Christ opened up the scriptures to them, while he revealed himself to them, yes, their heart was warmed. Did not our heart burn within us? There's a warmth, you know, in God's love. And how we desire to know it. How we'd seek for the Lord to direct us into it. Oh, to know something more of the warmth of the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. One hymn writer had to make that confession, didn't he? His love, he said, was cold and faint. Yet I love thee and adore. Oh, for grace to love thee more. Yes, we know you and I need the Lord to direct us into this. Yes, into the wonder of it, the mercy of it. Because you see, we're so unworthy. We're so unworthy. We do not merit God's love. But God in his great mercy loves his people. Yes, because he would love them. There's a word concerning God's ancient people in that way. He reminded them that the Lord did not deal with them because they were a greater nation than other nations, no. But it's just this, because he set his love on them. And that is descriptive of God's love to his chosen people. It is distinguishing love, you see. Israel did not deserve his love any more than any other nation. But the Lord had decreed, he did design that they should be the subjects of his love as a nation. And you see, in a spiritual way, God's spiritual Israel, it is it's distinguishing love. It distinguishes them. Distinguishes them from the world. Yes. And if this love is, if your heart is directed into this love, it will wean you from this world and the sinful pleasures of this world. They have no place in your heart. No. But you would desire to live as a pilgrim journeying through this lower world, as it were, and to be seeking that heavenly country where this love is to be known in its fullness. The Lord directs your hearts into the love of God. Yes, to know the effects of it, through the communication of it. And that's what we do need, don't we? As I said just now, we cannot bring ourselves into it. But the Lord can lead us into it. Yes, and sometimes through the gospel preached, it brings a poor sinner to consider the love of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And those gospel blessings all flow from this love, you see. Yes, and that reminds us of the fullness of it. It reminds us of the freeness of it. And it's love that reaches right down to poor unworthy sinners. And if the Lord is pleased to direct your heart a little into this love, you'll feel unworthiness. I'm sure dear David in his latter days knew something of this. And he felt his unworthiness. We read, don't we? Then went King David and sat before the Lord and said, "Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that has brought me hitherto?" He could only trace it to God's wondrous love to him. He didn't deserve it. He realised that his house was not so with God. But those things remind him that he was a poor sinner. The things in his heart were not right with God. He had many reminders of this, and in his family too. But over and above all this, you see, God's love to him. To bring him along through the changing scenes and at length to gather him to his heavenly rest. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. And in the patient waiting for Christ, you see the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the love of God centers in him, doesn't it? And this patient waiting for Christ, one of the things that will be made desirable in the hearts of those who are directed by the Lord, it will be this. For those times of manifestation of his love to their hearts. Yes, those love visits, as it were. Those tokens for good that David prayed for, didn't he? He prayed, "Show me a token for good." And there's a waiting upon God for this. The waiting for Christ, waiting for his appearing. Yes, those visits of his love. How the Lord Jesus Christ was pleased to appear to his disciples, wasn't he? After he rose from the dead. Yes, even when they were shut up in the upper room there, and the door being shut, how the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to them. And the blessings that he pronounced upon them, peace be unto you. There's a patient waiting for Christ. Yes, when you come to the house of God and under the sound of the gospel, is there a waiting for Christ? There's a waiting for some token of his love, some visit of his mercy, for your heart to be touched a little. But then, as the marginal rendering of this is, the patience of Christ. Well, doesn't this somewhat suggest the pathway of God's dear people? A patient waiting for him, a long, nice way. I think we considered this a little while ago, how Jacob expressed his desire, didn't he? Yes, how he waited for God's salvation. And when the Lord is pleased to shed abroad his love in the heart, it is such a desirable experience, isn't it? It may be perhaps so brief, but how you seek, as it were, renewings of this, some further token of his love to your poor soul, and to enable you to realise that amidst all your many failings and sins, that that love still flows. And what a mercy it is. You see, the Lord loves sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ loved Peter, didn't he? And though Peter sadly fell in denying his Lord and Master, the Lord Jesus Christ looked upon Peter. He didn't cast him off. No. And that's a great word, isn't it, you read about when the Lord Jesus Christ rose again and revealed himself. And it's that word, isn't there? The Lord is risen indeed and appeared to Simon. There's something very suggestive about that. Now you see, Simon, well, he did love the Lord Jesus Christ, but he didn't know his weakness. He thought he could stand firm in his own strength, but he had to learn he got no strength in himself. But that didn't alter the fact he had an interest in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. He belonged to him. Now that love, it binds, doesn't it? It's a bond, as it were. It binds the people of God together, where grace reigns, and it binds their hearts to him, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And in this word, into the patient waiting for Christ, you read about those who wait for his appearing. And you see the scripture makes it very clear that the time will come when the Lord Jesus Christ will come again the second time. Yes, in all his glory and majesty. And his dear people wait for that time. And what a glorious time it will be. What a wonderful time when the Lord Jesus Christ comes to gather in all his chosen vessels of mercy. And they shall be forever in heaven to enjoy that love without anything to hinder it. No sin, no sorrow, no temptations, but that love to be known in the fullness of it. But meanwhile here, dear friend, what a mercy. If from time to time your heart is touched just a little with this love, and you feel a little warmth to the Lord, you feel a drawing to his people, perhaps something like it was with Barnabas, you know, when he was sent by the other disciples to go to one certain place, as they'd heard of the grace of God there. And you read about this, don't you? And how Barnabas, when he saw the grace of God, he was glad. Yes, and you know, it's something that gladdens the heart to see some evidence of the grace of God in others. And sometimes you can see it in others when you cannot see it in yourself. But you do well to consider, think of Barnabas, he was glad. Well, why was he glad? He saw the grace of God. But then he was the subject of God's grace himself. He was no stranger to it. And it gladdened his heart to see the grace of God in others. And he was helped to give them a word of gracious exhortation. they were to cleave to the Lord with a purpose of heart. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. And how true it is, as one as well said, that they can't wait in vain. The Lord does appear to his waiting people. Sometimes you might have to wait long. Yes, and you may be troubled, and Satan may suggest the Lord has forgotten you. Well, there were those of whom were reading the Word of God who knew something of this, but you know, the Lord loved them. Yes, he said he'd graven them upon the palms of his hands. Their walls were continually before him. Oh, to know this love. Well, I've tried to bring it before you in a very feeble way, but it is a precious subject. And may the Lord be pleased to direct us, you and me, into this love more deeply. Amen.
Close this evening by singing hymn number 633. The tune is Remington 395. Number 633. The love of Christ is rich and free, fixed on his own eternally. Nor earth nor hell can it remove. Long as he lives, his own he'll love. He loves through every changing scene, nor aught can him from Zion wean. Not all the wanderings of her heart can make his love from her depart. Hymn number 633.